Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the FCB Radio Network. Real talk worldwide. Online at FCBRadio.com.
When I bust into your zones, microphones get crushed out. I break the sucker down to dust. I do what I must, do what the rush.
Welcome back, you guys. Y'all just tuned in to Necessary Roughness. This is Erica Rodriguez. We have Garbs and CJ. Garbs, how was your week so far?
Spectacular. Spectacular. Brownies won. I'm good. I'm ready for this week. You know, we got two in a row, and we're on a roll, which is a little bit more than I could say for somebody else's team. Oh, how you doing?
Hey, how's your week, buddy? I think I know what you're talking about, Garbs. Go ahead, DJ.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Tell the world how was
say
your
what?
Week.
But my, I mean, you know what? My week was okay. It was good. You know what? I got outside, you know, which more people should do. You turn off the TV. You know, sometimes on Sunday, you don't even need to watch some football. What you just should do is just go outside and go for a walk. You know, I went for a walk. It was splendid. It was pleasant. It was great.
DJ, it sounds like you're trying to do some small talk. You know, paddling a little bit.
He's all over the place, right?
Yes, just a little bit.
Look here, man.
Go ahead and refresh everybody, Garbs, about what happened about the Jaguars. CJ, since you don't want to talk
gonna
about
do
it now, just push it out.
I'm going to do it in the form of a song. It's going to be, it's a remake, of a classic. It's a remake of a classic. Everybody knows it. You'll know the melody. So just go ahead and sing along once you catch on to it. So you can hold these L's. Oh. Hold these L's.
I hate you.
L's, hold these L's.
I hope you didn't pay for those singing lessons because they cheated you. That is terrible.
These L's.
Really, Darby? Now you're joining in.
Hold these L's.
These L's.
You know what? You know what? We hold those L's. You know why? Because you
hold them.
You learn more from the losses than you do the victories sometimes. So my Jaguars are even more dangerous now because they have the experience gained from an unwanted loss, but we will take it because now we've gained some valuable experience moving forward, and now we will be more dangerous.
But you know what, though?
What?
That XP that you getting, it ain't Call of Duty, so you're still not prestiging.
First of all, look here, just because you're cheating, all right, YouTube everywhere. You're cheating. You played against the Washington Redskins, who don't even have an identity.
No, we played against the Washington football team.
You're right.
All right, you guys. All right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. So, leading to our topic, we're talking about the Browns. All right, Garbs. So, the Browns beat the Washington 30-24. Nick Chubb He ran 108 miles.
108 miles?
How fast is this guy?
I read the 8 miles stuck in my head. I read it, you know, I saw it a little bit sometime this week.
You were watching him win and just automatically, like, you turned on Lose Yourself for Eminem and you were
like, you know, just a little bit something like that. Something
good.
Like that.
Good. Once again,
Nick Chubb ran 108 yards. Gary had 2 sacks, and Mayfield had zero intercepts. Sorry, Mayfield has 0 intercepts.
I know.
Garbs, what do you think about the Browns' performance?
Oh, it was great. I think it's definitely something to build on. I'm excited to see. I think that they were listening to my critiques that I've made out there and put out into the universe. And
oh, get out of here.
They heard me. They looked at my Twitter feed or my Facebook and my Gram, and they were like, oh, we got to do this for the infinite one. We got to step it up. We got to put it together, and we got to make this happen. That's what they did. That's how I see it.
What do you think, CJ?
You're welcome, by the way. What's going on in your head?
Well, what's going on in my head is I'm still trying to figure out how in the world Nick Chubb ran 108 miles in a football game.
That you're talking about old stuff that doesn't look good.
108 miles and how – and you said Baker Mayfield had 0 intercepts? Intercepts. interceptions?
He was hacking the field.
Don't be mad because the Jags lost, man. Come on.
Listen, I told you the Jaguars are – they have learned, okay? It was Fitzmagic, all right? Fitzmagic sprinkled some fairy dust on his game, and you know what? Let's not even go there. We're talking about the Browns.
Okay, let's bring it back then.
Here's what I say about the Browns. It was good to see them put everything together on all phases, defense, offense. It was good to see them put all that together, use their weapons accordingly. Odell got the ball. Of course, Nick Chubb got off. I mean, 108 miles, as Erica puts it, is
that's crazy, isn't it?
That's old stuff.
He's got to win
CJ,
the wrestling
title. Bring it
title.
Back. That's old stuff.
He's winning the wrestling title. 108 hands down.
Miles. He ran. What that would mean? That would be like running from Lake Erie, the edge of Lake Erie, like just past Mansfield.
Man. But yeah, it was good to see them to put it all together. Baker, of course, you want to see him play a clean game as he did, 0 interceptions, spreading the ball around, making good decisions. It's a good first step for the Browns going forward this season.
I agree.
I'm excited
to see what they actually do. I think that if they can keep this up. Now, here's the thing, though. Coming into this upcoming game, that's going to be kind of the true test, I think.
So, coming next then, the Browns will be playing the Cowboys. Yep. Ooh. At this time, the Browns are 1-2. The Browns, ay Dios santo, no.
What?
The Browns will be playing the Cowboys at this time. Cowboys are 1-2, trying to salvage the season. You know, they're trying to get back together. If the Browns win, they'll be 3-1. First time since 2001.
Man,
CJ,
crazy.
Who needs this win more, the Browns or the Cowboys?
Ooh, man, that's a great question. First of all, I didn't know we are now on Fox Sports Deportes. Thank you. secondly, you know, that's a great question, because the Browns are definitely looking to build off their win last week to get momentum going in the season. Dallas, they've played a couple of close games, and Dak has been putting up numbers. And obviously, I think he's playing to show other teams his talent, because I don't know if Dak is going to be in a Cowboys uniform much longer after this season. So
I agree with you on that, man.
It's tough to say who needs it more. I'm going to say the Browns, just because it's the Browns. I mean, they underachieved last year, and this year there's new hope. So hopefully they can get that this week against the Cowboys. But at the same time, the Cowboys need this win just because they've lost a couple of tough, tough games, and they need some sort of light at the end of the tunnel if they're going to turn this season around.
All right, Garbs, what's your thoughts?
You know who needs it more, though?
Who's that?
Me. I do.
Oh my God.
I need this win. I do. Me. It's all about me, 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 me.
Are you in debt to a bookie or something? Garb, if you need help, man, you can ask Darby. Darby's got a lot of money.
No. I know he does. He can break me off something. But I need them to win. Like, for them to actually be 3-1, like, I think that is, like, significant. That's significant. Like, that's actually a big deal. Even though it's, like, super early in the season, I think that that's important. If we could do that and build on it, like, that's something that they can hold on to and say, hey, we're playing great right now, and we just beat a good team, you know? So even though the Cowboys, you know, don't have the best record right now, it's still a very solid team overall. So I think that that right there would be the true test to show that the Browns are actually making some positive progression.
Hey, Garbs, hold on real quick. Garbs, isn't that a hell of a stat, though, that Erica said, that if the Browns win, they'll be 3-1 for the first time since 2001.
That's crazy. That was a long time ago. 2001 was a long – I wasn't even 21 years old yet at that point.
Yet you were still bald at that point, too.
I think I had hair at that point. Back in the day, I used to have a goatee. You know, I may grow it back just to see, you know, let you see how I look. You know what I'm saying? And I think we'll enjoy it.
Why would I enjoy your hair?
Because it'll give you ideas on what you should do.
First of all, my hair is luscious and lovely. All right, this has been compared to Scandinavian silk. Is what my hair has been compared to.
What is that? Velvet?
Yeah. Velvet. You wouldn't know nothing about that, Q-ball.
Don't ever call yourself luscious again.
Right. Going back to what Garb said and that stat, man. Yeah, since 2001, I know the Jaguars have been 3-1 plenty of times since that year. But that's like I said, the Browns underachieved last year. And if they can get off to that 3-1 start, they could potentially live up to the hype that a lot of people placed on them once they acquired Odell and all these other big name acquisitions.
One thing that I'll say is that that's good for you guys too, is you're playing the Bengals this week.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, don't sleep on the Bengals. They pushed the Browns almost to the limit.
They would, but I think that y'all better win this game. I'm just saying that. Y'all got it.
We have learned, all right? We have learned from our losses, and we will take that along with our moral victories, and we will push ourselves over the edge, and then you better watch out because the Jaguars are coming. I guarantee you that. Duval County, baby.
All right, you guys. So let's start wrapping it up. Everybody. Everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice, I need you guys to stay tuned. We have an impeccable interview coming up. We have Taylor Porter. So hold on to your seats. Hold on to whatever you can hold on to because we'll be right back.
Do you feel like everyone is yelling at each other, but no one is listening to each other or themselves? I'm Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, a weekly exercise in critical thinking and drawing our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Because I believe when we take the time to examine our own talking points, we can realize we're not always saying what we think we're saying. Download Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Necessary Roughness.
You guys, welcome back. This is Necessary Roughness. Once again, we have a special interview. Right now with us, we have Taylor Porter. CJ, take it away, bud.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. You know, the old saying is you don't know somebody's true character until they go to war with you. Now, that's not to say anything about football being like war, but I have gone to battle with this guy by my side when I was playing tackle. He was playing tight end at the University of Cincinnati. My friend, my teammate, my special guest, my Joe Clark of Eastside High. Principal Taylor R. Porter. How you doing, sir?
Hey, CJ, you must have heard I like to carry that bullhorn around, man. I didn't think you were going to say Joe Clark. Goodness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I'm good, though. I'm happy to be here. I'm not Joe Clark, but I am happy to be here.
Yeah. Now, Taylor, just for the people, give a little backstory of where you're from and kind of how you ended up playing football at UC.
Yeah, good. So, again, Taylor Porter, born and raised in Ohio. I've been in Ohio my whole life, and I'm from a small town, northeast Ohio, called Alliance. And, you know, when I was in high school, it was a very, like, farm town, kind of rural. Like, my high school was surrounded by, like, cornfields and cow pastures. And if I'm not mistaken, nobody at my high school had ever really gone to play Division I football since, like, the 1970s. Like, it just doesn't happen. It's kind of not really our reputation. And, you know, I had transitioned to varsity football my sophomore year in high school, and things started to roll. And I got the big head and wanted to go to the big time. And so what happened, CJ, I don't even know if you noticed, but I had a couple scholarship offers to like these Division II schools and some 1AA schools. And I felt like I should shoot for the stars. And I actually became a preferred walk-on thanks to Mark D'Antonio at University of Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
So I'm like kind of, you know, I didn't have maybe the best guidance and nobody really could tell me like do it this way, not that way. So I passed up free money to go play at UC because I wanted the biggest stage I could possibly get on. And so I ended up making my way down to Clifton and having some fun with Mark D'Antonio, winning a couple ball games with you.
That's right, man. Hey, you know what they say, you got to go big or go home, man. If you aim for the stars, you'll fall amongst the clouds, something like that. I don't know if that was correct, but it's something. It's something
close.
Like that.
Yeah, it's close.
It's close.
Yeah, I get it. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So from UC, you graduated and you went into social work, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, man. It was a couple of things that took place in between me and social work. And so I actually, like I said, I walked on at UC. God is good. And I earned a scholarship my sophomore year. And so things were really, really like rolling. I got the big head and things were rolling probably too hard. And CJ, you know, I think you remember this. I became a teenage father. I had my daughter was born when I was a sophomore.
I do remember that.
Yeah, and so there was a lot of things that happened between me and graduation. So I was down there playing ball, living my life, and probably living my best life. And things went the way they went, and I'm really, really grateful for how things played out. But I graduated in 4 years, ended up going to hang out at a graduate program for a year called Central State University. And after Central State, I was really fortunate to land a gig as what is called an adoption recruiter. It's like a social worker, but my specific focus after graduate school was working with foster care kids that were like teenagers or they had like disabilities, so to say. And so I did that for 5 years. And then there was a whole nother like change that took place in my life that led me to high school education. But that's kind of a short version of how I went from Alliance to UC to thinking I was the man, and then getting back to really what like my real passion is, my core values is helping young people and helping kids that come from foster care. And so I was a social worker slash adoption recruiter for 5 years.
Yeah, man, it's crazy how, and a lot of us, you understand this, Taylor, as athletes, we tend to, especially at the D1 level, we tend to kind of start feeling ourselves, you know, smelling ourselves, as they say. Oh, and yes, it's crazy. It's crazy how, and you know, I go to church. I grew up in a church, and my family always says, "You think you're the man until God shows you otherwise." You know, so for you, you know, you were living fast, you were flying high, and the next thing you know, you have a child, which slowed you down, and. Yeah. That kind of puts you on your path to now ultimately leading young minds at, what is it, Gamble Montessori High School, correct?
Exactly, man. You said that so perfectly. I think, you know, in that moment, you know, I became this teenage father. I was a sophomore, and there's just all these things that flash in your mind, like, how do you handle this? Do you keep playing? Do you stop playing? Do you stay in school? Do you drop out of school? Like all that was in my head as I became a senior at UC. And ultimately I ended up, you know, stepping away because for me, like I said, my core values and where I come from is family. And so for me to really focus on my own family, I had to kind of make some decisions, which led to how do I help other young men like understand what's coming up in life and prepare you to actually navigate that and end up in a successful pathway versus a pathway that you really don't want to be on. And so, like I said, I found an opportunity. I ended up moving to Columbus, Ohio, and working with foster care kids. And yeah, I was smelling myself for a while, but again, I'm very, very thankful for the way things played out because it allowed me to serve specifically kids in foster care. And you don't go into foster care for good reasons. Hmm. I only go there for things that have gone wrong. And so I did that for 5 years and got to a place to where I just started thinking what else is out there because I think there's impact happening. I can show you the impact that's happening. I'm taking care of kids. I'm matching them with families. But if this cycle is going to stop, I got to find a new avenue. And for me, that avenue is like, I got to get in a schoolhouse. I got to get in the education system. Because if you can figure it out in school, you can really like just take off and propel yourself to a whole different platform.
Right. And one thing that I want to highlight, growing up for me, I didn't really see too many African-American principals or assistant principals. I had teachers, you know, who were Black, and maybe even guidance counselors. But to see an African-American man in the head position of a school, over hundreds of kids, maybe even thousands. I don't know how big that high school is, but hundreds of kids.
630
kids know who you are when you walk down the hallway. That is a powerful, powerful position to be in. Can you speak to kind of any kind of responsibility or sense of pride you may feel being in that position as a role model for the kids that you principal yeah. over?
So it's that's a great question, man. And just some of the responsibility and some of the kind of expectations and some of the first impressions from the young people, I think it was equal. Like there was one side that was shocked that there was like this 6'3" Black dude is the new principal. And there's another side that was shocked, like, wait a minute, he's young as heck. Like, how is he the principal? And he's like, CJ, we're not that far removed. You know what I mean? And so I think there was two sides of just being a little bit of a newcomer to this profession and being young. There was like challenges and things that I had to kind of work through and navigate to make sure I put my best foot forward and lead by example and really be somebody that kids can look at. On one hand, just to look at and know that there's like a pathway for me to be able to accomplish my goals and my dreams. And it doesn't have to be those stereotypes that you might think are out there. But then there was another pathway, and this is more of like me and the adults, right? Like me and the teachers. Like I'm working in these like predominantly white schools, and I'm a 6'3" Black dude that's never done it before. So there was like not there was, there is to this moment, there's still pressure, right? And like, I have to be able to demonstrate my competency. I have to be the first one in. I got to really make sure I bring my A game, just like we did when Mark D'Antonio said Blue Vase it. Like, man, every day I got to show up, because I know there's perceptions out there, not by everybody, but I want to make sure I don't validate these negative stereotypes. And I just really put the pressure on myself to show up and show out.
Right. And there's one thing I really want to highlight too about what you said is there's different pathways to accomplish big things. A lot of times kids may think that they have to become like an NFL player. They have to be an NBA player or a rapper or something like that. But you're doing big things as the principal of this high school, affecting a lot of people, not only the kids that you have now, but future kids as they transition into your school. And right now, especially during these times, during COVID, you're using social media to kind of reach out to kids, to speak a little bit about your process with that.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. This is crazy right now, because I've always, like, I got into education from this like kind of creative and innovative training program that trained school leaders, and it was very unorthodox. And so I've always been comfortable with like getting off the traditional pathway and trying new things. But now, man, we're dealing with this COVID-19 crisis, and it's like, it's got everyone from like principals to teachers to parents to the students themselves. People, in my opinion, man, people don't really deal well with change. And this whole process has been about change, and it's made us so stressed out. And everybody has like got this level of fear, because you don't know what's real and what's fake and how serious is this. And so, man, CJ, I've had to really spend a lot of time communicating with like parents and communicating with students and communicating with teachers to make sure I didn't only just like lead from what I thought was best, but I had to put myself in their shoes to think about like, this is so different, and people are not CJ and Taylor, and they don't deal with sudden change. They're not used to that kind of mindset that says you got to be ready for anything. And so my job really, man, is to keep everybody safe, and then to let kids know that, like you said, the question is just, it's not that you have to do the sports pathway. Like, I want to be a tight end for the Cleveland Browns up until I was like, like not that long ago, right? Like, I thought I was going to be starting for the Browns forever.
Go Browns! Go Browns!
Dog check, right?
You didn't want to be a Jaguar, man?
A who?
Here we go.
A Jaguar.
Who is that?
Okay. A Jaguar. Oh, my gosh.
CJ, he said, who is that?
Yeah, I heard him, Erica. Thank you.
So I have a question. Does your district have fall sports going on right now?
So we were one of the schools, and like, so I work in Cincinnati Public, so it's like the inner city district. And so we usually kind of do apples to apples and look at the big cities in Ohio and kind of compare ourselves and kind of make sure we're on that same pathway. But a lot of schools came back faster. If you were in the suburbs, they kind of went for it. And some of the other urban districts said, okay, we're going to start, but it's just going to be within our city. But my school district just started last week. So we really pressed pause on everything. And we had all these protocols in place. So the fall sports, it's like volleyball, soccer, football. We were doing individual training, like small team practices, but there was no competition because there's so many questions that are unknown. And down here in Cincinnati, like the data was really scary, and it's a little bit of a political conversation, but man, we put everything on hold. And I feel like, you know, from a straight sports and student athlete standpoint, we probably hurt our kids, but from a health standpoint and dealing with a pandemic standpoint, we protected our kids. So it's been crazy, man.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, man, we appreciate having you on. Go ahead one time, give a shout out to the Gamble Gators, and plug your Instagram and Facebook, everything.
I'll plug everything. Hashtag chomp chomp Gamble Montessori Gators. I'm all over social media, man. It's Mr. Porter 06 on everything. Instagram, Twitter, Mr. Porter 06. Or follow the best high school in Cincinnati, Gamble Montessori.
Uh-oh.
Gamble Montessori on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Gamble Montessori.
CJ, shots man, fired. Hey, we appreciate you too, Taylor. Thank you.
All right, you guys, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back. Necessary Roughness.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Beautiful people, thank you for tuning back in. Once again, this is Necessary Roughness. All right, you guys, I have to give a special thanks to Taylor Porter for stopping by. Listen, if you haven't heard yet, Doc Rivers, he was fired. I want to ask you, Garbs, do you think this was a good decision of letting him go? Do you blame him for the losses, the historical losses? What's going on in your mind? And also, there's also a Twitter that he sent out to his fans and everybody. So what's going on, Garbs? What's in your head?
Well, here, I guess for starters, let's read the tweet that he put out. He said, "Thank you, Clipper Nation, for allowing me to be your coach and for all your support in helping make this a winning franchise. When I took this job, my goals were to make this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and bring a championship to this organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I won't be able to see them all through. Though it was a disappointing ending to our season, you are right there, and I know what this team is capable of accomplishing with your support. Thank you to all the players, coaches, and staff for helping us get there. Most importantly, thank you to the fans. We went through a lot, and I am grateful for my time here." So, with that being said, I don't know. I don't know if I can actually put the blame on him or all the blame. Like, I think that they hyped him up quite significantly, and they weren't able to live up to the hype. And, you know, he still got them very, very far in the whole process, especially under the circumstances that, you know, everybody's currently in. But I don't know if I can put all the blame on him. I think that, you know, you can't have your star players like scoring 10 points like he just in 14 points in a playoff game, and those are supposed to be the people that are the leaders on your team. You can't put all the blame on him.
I feel, and sorry to cut you off there, Guards, but I feel like it's not fair to blame Doc Rivers, but at the same time, he is the head coach, and that's usually where the blame ultimately is going to fall, because they're not going to get rid of Kawhi Leonard because they got bounced out of the playoffs. Right. They spent a lot of money for Kawhi Leonard.
For sure.
So unfortunately, Doc lost his job, but that's just how it goes in this profession, and he knows that. And that tweet that he sent out is just a testament to how great his character is. And I know for a fact he's going to land somewhere else. I think Philly might be a good landing spot for him to turn that organization around.
There was actually something that came out today that said that, you know, they were in some sort of discussion. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure that, you know, that could be interesting.
But one thing I will say, man, is I feel like Doc should have had another year with those guys, at least to get back and maybe get some redemption for losing in the playoffs. But we'll never see that now. But like you said, you have your main guys. I mean, Doc showed up for the game, but Kawhi, Paul George, Pat Bev, those guys didn't really show up. And unfortunately, it cost Doc his job. And that's what sucks about it is, you know, you can write as many X's and O's and Y and W's as you want on the board. But if the players who you've paid for, you've given an arm and a leg for, you've traded away draft picks for, don't show up and produce like they are supposed to, you know, nobody's going to go home happy. And unfortunately, Doc had to lose his job. He had to take the lion's share of the blame. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see where he goes.
And we're going to see, you know, I think next season, whenever that may be, is going to be interesting, you know, looking at that. Because, you know, okay, well, who are they going to lock in for that coaching position? And what if they have the same problem? You know, the same issues, if the same issues happened, then it definitely wasn't Doc Rivers.
Yeah. And you see how, you know, so much was made of the Clippers when Kawhi signed there and I'm guilty of it too. I was like, oh boy, here we go. Kawhi and LeBron in the Western Conference Finals, everybody had that for sure locked in their minds. And when you got to that Nugget series and you saw that Kawhi kind of started falling off, Paul George wasn't hitting the shots that he was hitting, and they were blowing leads. I mean, blowing big time leads. You were just like, what? All the hype was just, I guess, misplaced. Maybe he's not the new king of LA as he was crowned by that Nike commercial, or was it New Balance commercial?
It was whichever. One of them.
It was whatever one of them.
Is, whatever it is, it didn't age well.
It did not at all. But I am interested to see how they will bounce back with whoever they have in charge. I want to see how Paul George and Kawhi and Pat Bev, the rest of those guys, will answer the bell. Will they come back with a vengeance, or will they go out the same way, kind of like how Houston would do and OKC would do, where they would get to like the first round of the playoffs and then bye-bye, get bounced out again. Let's see if that happens with the Clippers.
You know what I'm more interested in, though?
What's that?
Is how quickly LeBron and the Lakers are going to beat the Heat.
I was just about to say that. You're reading my mind, guys. We have to talk about this. So, guys, we only have probably less than 3 minutes. I need you guys to tell us what's on your mind. Like, who do you think is going to win? Garbs, start it off. Since you brought it up.
I've already established it. I'm going to say, come on. I think that the Heat will get one game, maybe. I don't think it's going to be too big of a challenge, quite honestly. I mean, they're a good team. They're definitely a good team. They're a solid team, of course. But I think that once the Lakers go on all cylinders, it's not going to be competition.
What do you think, CJ?
Well, there's a couple things that go into play here. One, I heard of friend of mine, a colleague of mine, said this. They think it's going to be a gentleman sweep, and I tend to agree. The Lakers will ultimately win, but I think it's going to be like 5-2. I think one, the Heat will get one on the Lakers just because they usually lose like the first game. It's kind of like a feel out game for the Lakers just to see what they got,
see how they play,
you know, and then LeBron and company will turn it on. But I do feel that the Heat, they're dogs. All right. They're going to fight, then fight to the end. So they will, I think they will surprise them and get one more game on him. But ultimately, I believe the Lakers will close it out in 5. But the Heat will win the 2.
See, here's my thing. As everybody starts talking about, like, oh, well, LeBron's biggest competition is such and such or such and such. And then, like, he ends up just completely, like, going beast mode on everybody. And then, you know, all the critics, like, are quiet. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that you do agree with me that the Lakers are going to win. But I don't think it's going to be that long of a series.
It hurts me to agree with you, by the way. I just want you to know it pains me to agree with you.
We agree on a lot. We agree on a lot.
And it hurts me every time because
I'm right.
And that's why. And that's why I don't want to agree with you. You don't know. You don't know how to be a gracious winner, I guess. I don't know.
All right, you guys, we're about to wrap it up. So to all our listeners, I know you guys have been waiting for so long. I know, so long for this next coming segment. So hold on to your seats. Like I said before, whatever you can hold on to, we'll be right back. Necessary Roughness.
Yo, it's your man. It's your best friend, Davey. Check out my new single, Looking for Love, available right now on all platforms. Peace.
This is Necessary Roughness.
Welcome back, you guys. Welcome back. Once again, this is Necessary Roughness. All right, before our segment that you guys have been waiting for, first and foremost, we have to bring back to the show Darvio, our producer, our head honcho, and so much more. Come on, boy. Take it to what you're doing. Do what you're
what's
doing.
What's going on? Hey, you know, real quick, because I won't be long, because I know all of us want to take him to church. I know y'all was just talking about the NBA Finals and how you got the Lakers versus the Heat, which is a really interesting matchup, particularly because it's LeBron's old team. But Garbs, I'll start with you, man. I saw an article in Sports Illustrated by Sam Amico that I think is real interesting because it goes along with what I believe too. And the headline is Cavs can learn from Heat that tanking is for losers. And basically what he's saying is how when LeBron left the Heat, they never tanked. They always tried to make the playoffs. Now, there were times where they did and times where they didn't. Like last year, they didn't make the playoffs, if I recall correctly. They ended up with the 13th pick, which ended up being Tyler Hero. So they still won out anyway. But to me, that kind of fits my philosophy. When I look at the lottery, I think it is what it's called. It's called the lottery. It's a crapshoot. And there are so many – everybody kind of looks at the 76ers and the Warriors of, well, if you play the lottery game, you can build your team up to be like this. But to me, there's a lot more of Charlotte's and Orlando's and Sacramento's than there are of the 76ers and the Warriors. So you guys go check that article out. It's on SI.com by Sam Amico called Tanking Is for Losers. But I just wanted to get your thought because I completely agree. I don't think playing the tanking game is good for the health of your franchise long term.
Absolutely not. I completely agree. I don't think that the tanking is a spectacular thing because at the end of the day, you don't know. You don't know if you're gonna get that spot that you want to get the guy that you want that you feel can actually make the huge difference on your team.
Right.
So if you tank, there's been, let's just be honest here. There has been more people picked in these high level spots that haven't had the super long, lengthy success than there has been the LeBron Jameses of the league, I don't think that's the best option. I think that it's part of it. It's definitely a big part of it because if you can land a guy that can take you to the championship promised land, great. But I think that's a big gamble that I don't know if it's something that you want to really take a chance with.
Absolutely. And then there's another aspect, and I'll go to you, CJ, on this, that let's say you do play the tank game, and you do end up with a really good player, but you're not ready to win. And sometimes by the time you put all the effort and energy into developing that player, by the time that player becomes really good, he doesn't want to be there anymore anyway because you still suck. So, CJ, your thoughts on that, and also from a player's perspective, what is it like to be on a team? Like, if the players themselves feel like this team isn't doing as much as they can to try to win, what does that do to the morale inside of the locker room?
Well, yeah, I've said this before on the old show. As a player, if any player worth their salt, they never want to lose. Tanking or lottery picks, be damned. You want to create an environment of excitement and winning so that people want to come there. So that when you get lottery picks or you draft, the draftees want to be there. Nobody goes into the draft and looks at a team that tanked on purpose and goes, yes, I'm going to be on this losing team. Nobody does that. Everybody wants to go to the team that is a winner or a contender. And when you tank on purpose, you create an environment where nobody wants to be there. So now, not only do you scare away potential draft picks and people who you're looking at to draft from college or the European leagues, but you're also scaring away free agents.
People who
could potentially come in and make an immediate impact to your team. So tanking culture, I don't know where that came from. That's obviously before my time, but I've never been a fan of tanking. I never want to lose as a player myself. Losing sucks, even though, like I said about my Jags, you learn when you lose sometimes. So sometimes it's okay in their aspect. But for me, no, I don't believe the Heat just proved
that you don't have to, right? They just proved that you don't necessarily have to tank. And now they're back in the finals.
And you can tell that team wants to be there, too. You can tell they want to play together and be in that organization.
Absolutely. They're a great team. But here's the thing, you know, just to add on to, like, tanking culture. Like, I really wonder, like, is it just the fans that in the couch coaches that, you know, have came up with that term because their favorite team caught some L's and had some bad luck, you know what I mean? Because, like – I don't just like CJ said, like, I don't see players like, oh yeah, well, let me tank here because we'll get a draft pick. Because at the end of the day, your position on that team is not guaranteed. So at the end of the day, they want to highlight at the very least themselves and their own abilities and skills. So even if they do get traded, they're going to be able to land someplace. Or, you know, if their contract is over and it's not renewed, they can land someplace else that will utilize them with the skills that they showed on a bad team.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. Great conversation. I'm going to pass it back to Ms. Rodriguez because I know what time it is.
You guys, it is now time. The time that you guys have been waiting for is now time for taking it to church, baby. Go ahead, CJ, take it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. As my musicians make their way up to the instruments, amen, church, amen, and amen. Sending honor and praises to the Most High, and praise be to you for attending today's service. I am the Honorable Reverend Dr. Al B. Good, and I welcome you to the harvest of heaven, heart of hope, ears of eternity, grams of grace, kilos of kindness, house of hoops, St. Michael, Shawn Michaels, Michael McDonald, McDonald, Donald Duck, Duck Dynasty, Church of Latter-day Ducks, I mean Saints, Go Marching In, Non-Denominational, Denominational, Baptist Church of Christ and Calvary Incorporated. Yes, yes, Lord. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, wait, did the church name and location change again? Yes. Yes, it did. And as I've said before, church, as the Spirit moves, so doth the church. Amen. And the Spirit has moved so strongly this time, it burst the pipes in our previous location, which may or may not have been installed illegally by a certain deacon and his cousin, Garbs, that, which is in no way... what I will use for the insurance claim to pay for my ongoing legal battle with former sister Letitia Jenkins from our church in last week's sermon. By the way, we still send our deepest and most heartfelt thoughts and prayers to, along with the cease and desist order. Amen. Now, speaking of complete washes, I now ask the Cincinnati Bengals and Philadelphia Eagles to come to the front of the church. as last week, these two 0-2 teams battled it out to see who would earn their first win of the season. And boy, did these two teams disappoint. The two teams went back and forth and put on a show for an empty Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, ultimately going into overtime and dramatically, yet undramatically, ending with the Eagles false starting on a field goal, pushing them out of range, and with the clock running out, the game ended in a tie. This reminded me of a little movie called A Christmas Story. Guards, Darvio, Erica, you might know it. You're up there in Cleveland.
Yep.
This is where the main character, I believe, his name was Ralphie. All right. He had two friends, Shorts and Flick, and they were locked in a heated triple dog dare situation where they dared each other over whether or not a tongue would stick to a frozen pole on the playground. Well, if you've seen the movie, you know how it ended. Flick gets stuck to the pole and the rest of the kids get to go inside. Spoiler alert, I know. But in this situation, we're Flick, forever stuck in the moment on a frozen pole in limbo, while the Eagles, who was Shorts, and the Bengals, all the other kids, get to go back inside to their nice warm locker rooms, never to decide who would win the game. Now, that's not to say that the game wasn't action-packed, as Philly socked cool Camel Joe Burrow 8 times. And that's 8 more sacked lunches than my father ever packed me when I was in elementary school. But that's not what we're talking about now. Now, both quarterbacks, Wentz and Burrows, channeled Houdini and escaping the pocket, much like how victory escaped both teams last Sunday, and made incredibly great plays down the field. Now, this brings up the saying, you win some and you lose some. But when the Bengals and Eagles tie, a Cowboys fan and a Steelers fan high-five in a bar parking lot somewhere and head inside to sing Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus for karaoke. And when that happens, church, we all lose. Amen? And that, my friends, is taking them to church. Deacon Garbs and Deaconess Erica, please close and lock the sanctuary doors as we go into overtime of collections and take up our 23rd collection of the tithes and offerings for my Netflix. Church is fun. And remember, church, no matter how crazy this world may get, you'll never have to worry about me, because I'll be good. Amen.
Praise be to God.
All right, you guys, and that's a wrap. So listen, before we go, Garbs, CJ, let us know what your last thoughts are and tell us how we can follow you. Garbs, take it.
Follow me at Garbs Infinite, G-A-R-B-S, Infinite, everywhere, and go Browns.
Yeah,
CJ,
whatever, man.
Yeah. What's your last thought? Tell us.
You already know what it is. It's at KingCobb70 on Instagram, CJ Cobb on Facebook. Like to keep it simple. And remember, Garbs is a hater. So don't pay attention to him.
Here you go. Here you go. I don't even have to respond.
And if y'all don't know, once again, I'm Erica Rodriguez. I'll see you guys next time when y'all come back in this radio station, Necessary Roughness. Until then, much love.
Distributed by FCB Radio Network.